Are you guys as excited that Young Justice is back as I am? Season 3, Outsiders, right now on DC Streaming. Episodes 1 through 3, let's talk about it.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
When that music comes on, it's just goosebumps in the air. I'm telling you right now, after a six-year absence, Young Justice Season 3, Outsiders, premiered Friday, January 4th on the DC Streaming Channel. And I'll be real. Outsiders, this Young Justice cartoon, and DC Titans is the real reason to get DC Streaming. Sure, they have a lot of things that we've seen. I'm glad Justice League and various movies is on it. But this is the content that we've been waiting for. When Young Justice got canceled, I was shocked. I thought it was one of the best cartoons, if not the best DC animated cartoon. And DC does cartoons right. They might not do their movies right, but their cartoons are amazing. And the episodes, I'm glad it's like a drug. They drop every single Friday. You get 3 episodes at a time, so you kind of get to binge watch them. Total of 8 weeks with 4 episodes dropping for part 1. And part 2 finales making a total of 26 episodes. The other thing that's very cool is that the episodes, when you spell them out by their title, spells out prepare the anti-life equation. So when you go through them all, each episode, and take the first letter, you're like, prepare the anti-life equation, which is something we've been kind of looming over since season 1 and season 2 going into season 3. We saw the end of season 2 with Vandal Savage and Darkseid, and then it just dropped. They dropped the ball. Here we are 6 years later. Season 1 focused on the founding of the team, members proving themselves, of course, and that whole teen angst and growing as teens. We saw each one come into their own. The main points of Season 1 were the main members of the team relationships. Cadmus, Roy Harper was just a continuing theme, right? Roy Harper being a clone, Roy Harper being angry, Roy Harper being this. The light came to play, and the big ending being the Justice League members who were mind-controlled and missing for about 16 hours. And we later see the trial in season 2, and it seems that they've done some horrible things in space. Following the story, it's something like 5 years later, focuses on Roy Harper again. Metahumans, which at that time, it's the mutants of the DC universe, right? The light comes back, the Reach, which are the aliens coming into play, and the Beetles, the Black Beetle, the Green Beetle, the Blue Beetle, every Beetle known to man is coming to play. And the Aqualad double agent story, that was very cool. It definitely shocked me. It fooled, at least most of us got fooled by it. Here Aqualad plays the villain, even kills Artemis, which is just horrible. And Nightwing thinks it's best not to tell anyone. And it backfires, but they still come back. And of course, the fact that Kid Flash, Wally West, dies, breaking Artemis and all of our hearts with the big reveal with the whole War World Dark Side and saying business as usual. Now, we are finally back. We are going to discuss each and every episode individually. So we'll go through each one and do a quick breakdown throughout this after show. We usually do one show per episode, but because these are episodes are given to us in threes, we're going to basically take them in threes. But each one episode deserves its own time. We're not going to focus on it as an overall situation. So let's talk episode 1. Episode 1 was the exciting, we're back. It was just the adrenaline of being back. Princess All. We're going to discuss Justice League Breakup, Black Lightning, the original crew, and Markovia and the royal family, because Markovia plays a huge part in what comes to be this episode 1 and through season 3. Called the Outsiders, which we know from the comic books, Outsiders is basically Batman's own personal Black Ops, and that's where we see, starting with episode 1, we start the episode at the conclusion of season 2. It does the quick recap where Nightwing steps down from the leading the team and leaves Calderon and in charge with Batgirl, who he says she's extremely able. Batgirl, of course, being Barbara Gordon. We come back to the League being all types of broken. 2 years later, the world is not trusting Lee, and metahumans being a high commodity, and they're even smuggled in traffic. That's the whole concept. These metahumans, ever since the Reach tried to use them, the metahumans are now emerging. It's the age of the metahuman, right? The Justice League breaks up. first thing we're getting is this Justice League breakup. And that's where Batman kind of goes behind the rest of the members' backs and decides to basically start, not exactly a coup, but a breakup in pattern, because the Justice League to him is ineffective with all the new regulations. They're not getting things done. They are buried in bureaucracy. He doesn't like the direction they're going, and he takes Plastic Man, Hardware, Katana, Batwoman, and Green Arrow with him. Green Arrow, Black Canary is not too happy about, because he kind of did it behind her back. Definitely not happy about that. Then, because of this discourse, we see other members like Spoiler, Arrowette, and Tim Drake, Robin, also resign. Now, I need to break down the Tim Drakes, because you have to tell which Robin's Robin. There's so many Robins, right? They resign too. A lot of discourse. Black Lightning resigns as well, but not because he was part of the whole situation with Batman, but because of that incident on Ran where he used his powers and he basically kills the metahuman who turned out to be a 14-year-old girl. I was very shocked with the whole situation. As I said, overall, the adrenaline of the Young Justice being back was what made me and compelled me to love this episode. Young Justice is a mature themed, it's fun themed, it tells a lot of story. I think it's possibly top three best DC property out there. The Black Lightning thing that made me surprised was the concept of Black Lightning goes into a battle on Ran, uses his powers, and unfortunately kills a meta who turns out to be a 14-year-old girl, which links back to Markovia, which we're going to discuss later in this breakdown. But he's shocked that his powers killed someone. Now, I understand that he was using restraint, but I'm sure as Black Lightning and in war, he's possibly hurt, harmed, or possibly even killed someone before. The shock of it being a 14-year-old young girl, I understand why that would be disheartening, but not so much so that you would want to resign your post, not so much so that your powers stop working. It seems as if there's a form of PTSD that's coming to play. Another part of the breakdown, because as Young Justice, we also see there's always a bunch of storylines that happen simultaneously, which is what makes this show. It's like, yeah, it's a cartoon, but no, it's not just a cartoon. This is a complicated. It's only a cartoon because it would just cost too much to make it live action. That's the real reason. And in many ways, it's better than the live action because of it, because we're able to do so much. We see that the old gang's back. Nightwing, who, if you remember, they even brought it up to us, who stepped down, and that's, we have to discuss this Nightwing angle. He steps down, and he doesn't want to be the leader anymore. He doesn't even want to play this part. This is the year of the Nightwing. I mean, we've got Nightwing on DC Titans, and now Nightwing on Young Justice, and there are two very opposite spectrum Nightwings. The Nightwing on DC Titan is a dark, menacing force who's one step below or above Batman, depending on how you look at it. In this angle, Nightwing is basically just an older Robin. He's not specifically like a dark force. He still has a lot of love for Batman. He's got respect for the league. He just needed a break from being a superhero. Nightwing goes and starts collecting team members. He's been breaking up these metahuman rings, smuggling rings, trafficking rings, which is great, because this... Now, Young Justice always had a sense of general commentary. Let's be honest. It talked about teen angst. It talked about coping with oneself, deciding who oneself is. If you remember season one with Megan's storyline of who she really is and hiding herself and things like that. Things that, sure, they were very drastic, but they were metaphors. They were metaphors for things that we all go through. Artemis had this whole thing where she had to prove herself because she didn't think she was good enough. That's something that is general commentary. It's commentary. But this season three, Outsiders, it definitely has a more social commentary aspect, as we will see with the storyline of Markovia, with the Karakis, and even with the concept of dealing with loved ones who are gone. I mean, it takes the role of general commentary and mixes it with social commentary, and it's very interesting. The smuggling ring, we see a lot of storylines, unfortunately, about human trafficking, even on the news now. And now we see in Young Justice, it's more about the metahuman trafficking, right? Nightwing goes and collects the old gang. The old gang come back. He goes right back into his comfort zone. Who's his comfort zone? It's the originals. It's Artemis. It's Superboy. It's McGann. Even though McGann's not too happy about Superboy taking on this mission, right? Artemis, interestingly enough, is living with what we could consider her brother-in-law, the estranged Will Harper, and the baby. So it's like a little family. Still has the picture. It was heartbreaking. Has the picture of Wally West on her dresser. So she's not, you can tell she hasn't been herself ever since the incident, right? Superboy is living with McGann. Not a surprise. I never bought into the whole McGann with someone else situation. I never liked that when they brought that up in season two. But McGann and Superboy, there was always that connection. We always liked that. And you know what I like the most is when in season one, when Superboy was like, I always knew what you look like. And it didn't matter to him. Of course, as a Kryptonian, he's also an alien. But it was just more so because McGann had been hiding her form, which she still does in this way. But as her Martian form, she does go with the bald head, no more hair. Superboy is doing the guy thing where he accepts Nightwing's proposal without talking it over with his partner. McGann's a little peeved, and then Superboy that they aren't going to be together, and then Superboy, of course, turns around and proposes to McGann. We're going to be together forever. Not a shocker, but it was still sweet. It was nice to see. They have a history that we love putting these two people together. It's nice. It's comfortable. It's familiar. We see it. We see on one side, Artemis is heartbroken. She's without her partner. On the other side, we see Superboy and McGann being such a strong team because they are two together. They do have partners. And then we also hear the voice of Oracle in the background helping out Nightwing, who for most of the comic book fans were very familiar as Batgirl. After the Killing Game, putting her in the wheelchair, she's playing that role of the brains behind LeBron. And at this point, we are seeing what the relationship between Oracle and Nightwing is. It seems extremely friendly, a little flirty, but we want to see more. And we don't actually get to see, or we get to hear her and seeing how it plays out. Now, Markovia, sheesh. What does Markovia stand for? Let's discuss the concept of what Markovia is. Markovia has come to play, and I don't even understand why Markovia is such an important part of the DC world when it comes to especially Young Justice, but it just seems to be the perfect example of, first of all, it's still a country. It's a small country. It's a small, what are we going to call it, Eastern European country in which there still is the hierarchy. It's not a democracy, which a lot of us in the Western world wouldn't be used to. It still goes by, basically, it's a kingdom. It's the kingdom of the family Markov. And it is also the centerpiece for some metahuman trafficking. And we are trying to find out where the royal family plays this part. Now, Markovia is an analogy for Serbia-Bosnia. It's a very similar conflict between the Serbs and the Bosnians. It also seems to play an analogy for the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, the Kurdish-Iraqi conflict. Basically, any severe conflict of a nature of two different groups of people in one singular place is played out in Markovia. Here's my thinking. Karak is a different country. Why are Karak and Markovia so linked? They're not even geographically very close to one another. The Karak in the DC universe is basically on top of where Yemen or Oman would be in the Persian Gulf, right there next to Saudi Arabia and close in proximity to Dubai, right? Markovia in the DC universe is somewhere in the Eastern Europe, Croatia, Serbia, former Yugoslavia, like in that area of the world. I don't really know the specific relationship between the two in which the Markovians have such a strained relationship with the Karakis, but it leads for that. Also, why is Markovia, I understand because it's a kingdom, it seems like you would be able to get away with more. It's also a smaller kingdom. But why is this headquarters of metahuman trafficking, right? Why this place? Why not Paris? Why not London? Why not anywhere else in the world where there are actually bases? This is maybe a useful metaphor of a Russian nature where we see a lot of human trafficking coming from Russia, which is what the DC universe is trying to transcribe in a way. Now, at the head of this metahuman trafficking, we clearly see Dr. X. Dr. X is the doctor with the glasses and the nice British accent who seems to be extremely shady, is the responsible for the sister, for Otto's sister, the 14-year-old lava metahuman who Black Lightning uses powers on, her death, telling Otto, her brother, that, oh, his sister died, and then you see that she's still alive, calling out Otto's name, and is taken and exposed to a terraform that exposes the metahuman gene and makes it come to life in these chambers. We see those chambers. There's like a Markovian children's hospital, and all these kids are taken in for testing under the guise of help, and then they're claimed to be dead, quote unquote, and then taken to these chambers. And their metahuman genes are exposed and then exhilarated, and then they are expecting to be able to utilize their powers. We see Dr. X beneath that, but he's not the head. We know that because he's constantly basically speaking of whoever he's taking orders from. He's not running this on his own. He is a pawn in a much larger game. Now, with Markovia also comes another doctor, Dr. Jace. Dr. Jace is this female doctor who plays this part. And when I say the female doctor who plays a part, she seems to be the good in contrast to Dr. X is bad. She seems to not really know what's going on. She's the royal family's personal doctor. And she seems to be not aware of everything, but that's yet to be seen. Let's examine the Markovia royal family. Now, the person who plays the big part, as we know, is Prince Brion. Prince Brion is the middle child. We have Prince Gregor, the oldest, who is turning of age in order to be crowned and is the next in succession in line. And then we have the youngest, Princess Tara, who we've seen before. We've seen her play a part actually in season 2, and it's very interesting that Princess Tara is here, and Princess Tara is claimed to be dead. Now, we know that something shady is going on even in this first episode. Princess Tara being dead just seems to be a very vague situation. We also see, let's go with the parents, King Victor Markov, King Victor, and Queen Ileana Delam. Now, why I use the name Delam at the end, it's Delam Markov, but the reason I use Queen Ileana Delam is because not only is Count Vertigo in this family, but General Baron Delam, who is Queen Ileana's brother. He's the general. He's the one who comes to play a huge part. And the last name Delam we see is an anagram for Bedlam, which is the human trafficking, the metahuman trafficking organization's name. And Nightwing kicks himself in the ass and hits himself in the head for not realizing that it was an anagram. Something very un-Nightwing of him, by the way. Very un-Dick Grayson. Dick Grayson would have figured that out in half of a second. So, why this is important? Because Prince Brion, the king and queen are murdered. They're murdered by a speedster metahuman who we don't see after that. And the door is opened by a young lady who comes to play a large part as we go into episodes 2 and episodes 3. At this point, she is unknown and unnamed. She opens the door. Do we know if she's actually part of the plot or just as a unwilling participant? We are not sure. It looks like she knows what she's doing. We are not confirmed. And it plays a huge storyline, not in episode 1, it's just a foreshadow, but going on to episodes 2, 3, and of course 4, 5, 6, as we are on right now. Now, the parents are killed, meaning Prince Gregor is brought up in succession. The reasoning, the thinking, of course, has to be the understanding of, is Prince Gregor in on this? Is he the one who wanted to move up? We're not sure. Now, given his character as displayed, we don't think so. We don't think so. But we hear little things like when we find out that, of course, Count Vertigo is part of this metahuman trafficking ring. Huh. Go figure. Then we also find out that General Baron DeLamb, Bedlam, is part of this, is the leader, the one who Count Vertigo is speaking to. We also find that out, that General DeLamb is part of this. And we're like, wow, what's going on here? We're still not sure how deep or how far this conspiracy runs. They are running a whole human trafficking ring behind Markovia's back. We don't know who's in on it. We don't know who's not in on it. The only person that we are very sure isn't in on it, and it's because of their willingness to put themselves in harm's way, is Prince Brion, who takes the self-initiative of saying, do we have the metahuman gene? To which Dr. Jace replies, yes, and says, well, I want to activate mine so that I can go out and basically find my sister or find what happened to her. Yeah. Let's go. I'd love to hear what you guys have to think about this, the first episode with Princess All, episode one, season three. I'd love to hear what you guys think of the Justice League breakup. The breakup, did you think Batman, what Batman did was shady? I think it was a very Batman thing of him to do. Do you think that Black Lightning should be this dismayed over what happened? I think he should be upset, but not to the point where he's lost his powers. Do you think that Nightwing, who retired, is really retired? Is the human trafficking, the metahuman trafficking, the only thing that brings him back? Or is it because Nightwing, it's in him to be Nightwing? And of course, Markovia and the royal family, what are your thoughts on who's guilty and who's not? Let's discuss some episode two, shall we? Royal we. Going into the R of the prepare the anti-life equation concept. As we talk about Royal We, we're going to discuss Beast Boy being a superstar, the official announcement of the resignation in front of the whole world. We're going to discuss Nightwing's Markovia mission, the Kuraki metahuman, who we, as discussed in the first episode of the Kuraki, who opened the door, Prince Brion, Dr. Jace, and Dr. X, the Bedlam Ring, we finally hear that name, and Vertigo, Count Vertigo, being in charge, or is he? Let's start off episode two, Royal We, with Beast Boy being a superstar. Beast Boy has a TV show, and it added something of a, it was fun, it was funny. Think about it, Beast Boy's the superstar, fits his personality. Very fun show, something we got to get a glimpse of. How does it play out? Why did he leave and start a show? Is he still part of the team? We still have a lot of unanswered questions regarding it. They don't go into a lot of detail, but we do know that it's a space fantasy show that he plays a part. And also, at least we know he doesn't need any stuntmen. It's Beast Boy, right? It's Gar. Gar being Gar. The official announcement of the resignation at the UN, we got a taste of the UN General Secretary being Lex Luthor, but now we see him in full force. And it's interesting. Lex Luthor has been everything. He's been, this guy's had the most illustrious criminal career of all time. He's been president. He's the UN United Nations General Secretary. He's a villain. He's a super. He's everything. Lex Luthor is definitely one of DC's top villains. I don't think that should ever be any dispute. There is a toss-up for me personally between the Joker and Lex Luthor. I don't think anyone else, and even the powerful ones, even though we're going to see a lot of Vandal Savage, even though we're going to see a lot of Darkseid as promised in the season, I'm personally thinking that it's between, for me, it's between Lex Luthor and the Joker. And I'll tell you why I like these guys. First of all, Lex Luthor, biggest superpower, he's rich. He's rich. I always love that superpower. Number two, he's brilliant. He is a brilliant mind. Number three, he does not have a superpower to rely on. He doesn't have laser eye beams that shoot out or immortality. He doesn't have any of these things. All he has is his guts and his wits and his brains and his money and his Lex Luthor-ness and his conniving, manipulative intelligence that he uses for all the wrong things. Or does he? And of course, the Joker is the Joker. If anyone ever says the Joker is not one of the baddest, they are one of the worst people on the planet. When the official announcement is made in the of the breakup of the Justice League in the United Nations, Lex Luthor is basically, well, we should basically disband the Justice League. We see that there is this turn in the politics and the political mindset of what the Justice League represents. The Justice League is supposed to represent goodness. It's supposed to be helpful. It's supposed to do and be all and more than humans can do and be. And yet we see that the world now mistrusts them. A lot of it has to do with season two. A lot of it has to do with just plain old fear. And the rest of it, I think, would have to do with jealousy. The two people that stand up for the Justice League, of course, the Themysciran ambassador, Troia, and Atlantean ambassador, Garth. Garth is in the picture, and Garth is, you know, this. You guys are what's wrong with the Justice League. The Justice League is great. We're creating all these rules and regulations to hinder them. By the way, very similar to a storyline, of course, that we saw in the Accords in Avengers. We cannot not notice the comparisons between the two. Now, when we have the United Nations breakout, all of a sudden, other ambassadors jump in and start talking about it, and they start adding in their two cents. With this being a very strong foreshadow, Markovia says, we will not tolerate vigilantes. That's what they're calling the Justice League. Vigilantes. Ineffective vigilantes. Very Watchmen, if you ask me. And I really like that angle, how the realism seeps in to the fantasy. Because there was a time where all we saw in superheroes were things that were fantastical, things that we wouldn't actually believe. Now, this new sense of realism, which is very modern, very, very millennial, the concept of realism introduced in comic books. For any comic fan, we know that the comics have been doing this for years. But now the public, the audience, the general consensus is to believe this. We saw that with the Christian Bale set of Batman movies. Very realistic, very accurate portrayals almost of within reason, of course. And now we're seeing this again in Young Justice, which, by the way, as I've stated, sure, it might be a cartoon, but it is much, much, much more. And it, of course, it makes sense that the Themysciran and the Atlantean ambassadors are the ones who stood up for the Justice League. They are the ones with basically superpowers, right? And it's also, it's Troia and Garth. So they're basically, of course, Troia's in the Justice League and Garth. But Markovia saying no vigilantes anymore, that was some type of giveaway that Markovia is doing something shady. Even though I'm a firm believer, of course, of innocent until proven guilty. And just because, for example, just because you run doesn't mean you're guilty, right? Things like that. Nightwing says, yeah, watch. They're like, watch the news. Nightwing goes, we're going on this Markovia mission. That's a very Nightwing thing to do. What else is Nightwing supposed to do? And Nightwing recruits Artemis, Superboy, and Black Lightning, knowing that Black Lightning doesn't have powers but has technological knowledge. It's great. Nightwing goes on this Markovia mission, infiltrates Markovia under false pretenses, goes in, gets into the children's hospital in a Nightwing way to do it, goes through with the mission. Artemis is sent out to basically on a separate recon mission and runs in, and Superboy, as we see, Superboy and Black Lightning are in there. Superboy gets captured. Superboy being captured by Otto, the lava creature. Superboy wasn't up to par, if you ask me. I feel Superboy's powers should have made him a little more immune. He's trained in fighting. He should have done better. He should have gone better. He could have jumped. I know he doesn't fly fully, but he does have that jumping capability. Do I think it was need be that he gets captured? Probably not, but he does. Now, switching speeds to the Artemis storyline. Artemis runs into the Karaki girl being buried by some foot soldier henchman. She goes there to help them. The Karaki girl, all of a sudden, her metahuman gene is exposed. Or at least we hope it's metahuman gene. So many questions about this girl that we're going to see throughout the next couple episodes. So many questions about who she is and what she does. And she has this aura power thing that reveals itself, and she can heal herself, basically coming back from all types of death, whether it's her neck being snapped or her being burned to bits, basically half of her being burned. Her powers seem to just exponentially grow as we see it, but so far right now, her powers are just beginning. Prince Breon is now taken by Dr. Jace, and Dr. Jace has her own thing that she's doing, her own hidden agenda. She gets Dr. X to basically take Prince Breon on and activate his metahuman gene. Storyline, the Prince Breon one, him being captured, so to speak. And when you see them side by side, Superboy is in one pod, in one capsule, and then Prince Breon's in the other one. And you're looking at it saying, what is Dr. Jace's deal? Is she part of the bad people? She's coming off very evil in her actions right now. And yet you're compelled to like her. She has this an ardent sweetness, but is this basically my own personal prejudice to think that the pretty cartoon woman with the sweet voice is a good person while the diabolical English British accent is evil? I don't know. It's just playing, and her actions are kind of matching up with this. We're yet to find out. Count Vertigo comes in and is basically asking Dr. X, hey, what's going on here? Dr. X says, well, I was told, I was ordered. So that's when you know, again, reconfirming that Dr. X is not at the top of the food chain. He's at the bottom, somewhere at the middle at the most. Count Vertigo, you're like, that's the guy. That's the guy that's in charge. It's got to be Count Vertigo. We already know him. He's a bad guy. We hate Count Vertigo. He's part of the light. He's shady. He's done horrible things. We can't trust that guy. And then we see the end. Vertigo calls someone and says, Your Highness, the operation may have been compromised. Dun, dun, dun. Why is that such a thrill? Because now we're thinking, is Prince Gregor in it? Because Prince Gregor is the one who's being crowned. He's the one. And it would kind of make sense. It would make sense to have, for someone who's trying to grab power, to have parents killed, move up to you're the top of the food chain, you're the king. And that's who the phone call is made to. And also, who do we call Your Highness? Whoever your sovereign is, right? We're thinking it's got to be Prince/almost King Gregor. That's the implication there. Who else would Count Vertigo bow down to? Who else would Count Vertigo allow to take the lead in such a thing? One tidbit that I think I definitely didn't go unnoticed, but I don't think enough people talked about, is the fact that they had a boom tube and other tech, which shows that they are still part of the light, I would say. And the reason I say they're still part of the light 100% is because they had that new Genesis technology. The new Genesis technology plays a huge part. Here you are with the boom tubes and all this stuff and ways out and plan Bs. And who else does that? It's the light. So is this part of a bigger picture? So many questions, so much reason to keep watching, right? You're thinking, oh, things will be answered in episode 3. Episode 3, imminent threat. Let's talk about it. Beast Boy's PSA, back to Markovia, Nightwing's mission still unfinished, Nightwing going back to saving Superboy, Artemis and the Karaki Girl, the unknown Karaki Girl, and Breon and his powers. Basically, everyone has powers. Let's start with Breon and his powers and how everyone just has powers. Breon's power is activated, and we see this on as he basically melts into the ground in a very... In almost the way, if you remember from Watchmen, Dr. Manhattan didn't have control of his powers in the beginning and then forms. We see Breon just like melt into the ground, right? Because he's got this terraform lava-ish power, which made me actually think, and I'm sure a lot of people at home thought about the fact that maybe the capsules basically just unlock this lava power that everyone has. Because it was very confusing that Otto, his sister, and now we see Brionne get these lava powers, right? It was a very confusing situation, back to back with the lava. And the reason I say everyone has powers is because we've realized that Dr. X is this multiple man guy. There's multiples of Dr. X. He's a metahuman. And more importantly, we find out that Baron DeLam is also a metahuman. He's got this rock hard exterior body super strength thing that he does. And we find this out when Brionne goes back to save his brother and expose DeLam, and he has powers and DeLam defends himself basically on camera, because DeLam at this point has basically tried to expose and exploit Brionne by saying that Brionne is a traitor and Brionne has metahuman powers and he must be behind all the metahuman trafficking, and tries to basically use Brionne as a scapegoat. And we see also that Bedlam was using these mind control discs. That's how they were controlling Otto. That's seemingly how they were controlling the sister and possibly any of the other metahumans and the kids that they have going for them on the team. I guarantee that brain disc is going to play a huge part later on in the show. It's definitely going to play a big part in the show. Bedlam. Or DeLam tries to stage that coup at the coronation, where he's basically the regent to the king, and he's already gotten all this power, and now he's like, you know, King Gregor, who, you know, I'm still in control of all the soldiers, and he realizes that he's not. And that's the Markovia concept. But none of that would be possible without Nightwing's mission. Nightwing decides to go back to save Superboy, of course. Nightwing thing to do. We see Artemis come, and the Karaki girl, still unknown, still unnamed, come. We see this battle on the beach. This battle on the beach is actually a huge battle in which we see the Karaki girl die again. And we're like, wow, how much power does she have? How much power does this girl have? What does she do? She's playing a huge part. Something I think is interesting to note is how her hijab, got shot off, and clearly it plays a part. We see the head wrap get shot off. I'm sure a lot of people had something to say about that. I wonder if that made the round of the I'm offended tour. It did make me notice. I didn't feel offended, of course. Personally, I didn't feel offended, but I did take note of the exposure of the hair and with the wrapping and everything. I have to say, she has become one of the most extreme and interesting parts of the show. We also see Brionne's anger, right? He's just always angry. Everything he does is out of anger. It plays a huge part. It plays part even in his power. His power is a manifestation of his anger. And we see that Otto, the lava man, the plasma man, when they take the brain control off, Otto starts helping them. He starts helping them because, you know, the X and Vertigo and everyone's fighting them. Otto starts helping them. And then a villager comes out and with a gun and shoots Otto and kills him. And even though the Karaki girl is able to heal, she's unable to heal him. There's no life left in him, which means that now we have two dead kids. And it brings Black Lightning a bit of PTSD. Black Lightning has been going through a lot. He got hit with a rock on his back. I mean, he's just been going through a lot these episodes. So we see a lot of storylines unraveling, unfolding, storylines crossing, Nightwing's metahuman trafficking, Black Lightning's personal demons and battles, the Justice League, what's going to happen with them. We don't know. We want more. We have to find out. Let's go to news and gossip really quick for this first 1, 2, 3. AfterBuzz TV News. And basically the news and gossip is this is coming out. One of the big major storylines is since Wally West was an original member of the team, it has been a constant thing that hopefully Wally would come back. Jason Spisak, who is the voice actor that plays Wally, teased the potential return in a tweet involving his work on the Teen Titans, the Judas Contract animated film. It should be a built up slowly to give that maximum emotional impact. Maybe we'll get it in part one. Most likely we'll get it in part two, but that's definitely been on the table. And we've seen this before. We've seen Terminal Velocity. We've seen Infinity Crisis, and we've seen Rebirth. Wally West keeps coming back. I mean, we didn't actually see him die. We saw him disappear into the Speed Force. And if we know anything from the Flashes, whether it's the TV show or the comic, the Speed Force does what the Speed Force wants to do. So is Wally West dead? We don't know. Everyone seems to think so, but that means nothing in comic book world. So let's see if Wally West actually does return. For the special segment, we're going to pick a character that you feel most describes you as a person. And in this, I would say that the character that describes me most as a person is going to have to be Batman. That descent and doing things on his own and going rogue is a very Batman thing to do. And I'm definitely known and guilty of that. Is when I see something's not working, I'm going to take my own way. I'm going to figure it out. So I'm Batman. I'd love to hear from you in the comments below. Who do you think you were? How do you think you play out? And what did you think of Young Justice? These first three episodes, 1, 2, and 3 of Young Justice season 3. Let me know. I need to hear from you. I know it seems like we're starting late, but trust me, we're going to be on it right here at AfterBuzz. And make sure that you check out all our after shows, because we do so for all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. But we do need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you. And if you hate those pesky notifications, don't. Just click them off. You can click them all out. Click, click, and they are gone. Hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels. I'm on a bunch of these shows. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and helping us be the ESPN of TV talk. Anyway, so much for me from season 3 of Young Justice, Outsiders, episode 1, 2, and 3, Lumped in a Crew. I am Tehran. I've been your host. It's been a pleasure being a part of you. I will see you guys for more and more and more. We've got a lot of Young Justice cover, so stay tuned right here on AfterBuzz. Catch you guys next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.